Well, today we're going to continue over looking in the same direction we were about the coming Messiah. In other words, there were signs of the Messiah coming at that time. They had signs, things in Scripture that were said, things that happened in event-wise. I don't believe it's any different. Now, one thing that we need to run clear on concerning Scriptures, which the church has all messed up and intertwined things, concerning Jesus Christ returning into the church is not a coming of Christ like His coming, His birth, nor His coming to set up His kingdom. They are called the Advents. See, we're in a age, you've heard, if you're around religious stuff, they call this is the Advent season. Advent is His first coming to earth. Jesus Christ's second advent happens after the tribulation period. That's His second advent. His coming for the church, He does not come to the earth. He doesn't step on the earth. The church meets Him in the air. This is a whole different thing. Apostle Paul talked about it. It's easy to see in Scriptures. So when we're looking at this, so we're going to see there's one thing. Anytime God does a major thing in the earth, there's things written by Apostle Paul concerning the time, concerning events and things happening. There are certain things of events that speak toward Christ's second advent, which most of what Jesus said in the Gospels talking about His return has to do with His second advent. It doesn't have to do with coming to the church. The people there didn't even know, or His disciples had no idea of even Jesus' they didn't catch it concerning His death and resurrection. He wasn't talking to the church. He was talking to Israel. Those things He stated there were not for the church. That's for His second coming, what it's going to be like in those days. In those days and times, He talks about the dealing with what the Antichrist will be. He talks about the abomination of desolation. That happens during the tribulation period. That doesn't happen in the church age. That doesn't happen while the church is here. But we need to know that. But there are signs. If there are signs, and we're looking at signs, is one of the things that God is having me deal with, we dealt with last week. People will miss the signs of the coming of Christ, even for the church, just like they did for His first coming, because the people do not seek God. They're seeking men. We are in the glorification of men. You know, we're expecting men to do everything and figure everything out. We need to seek God and know. And we're looking at this. We talk about John the Baptist and his coming. We're going to talk about Mary today. If we get over concerning Joseph, when the angel appears, we want to talk about these things because men added things in Scriptures, and we blurt them today and do them, and we miss a lot of things because we miss the grace of God, and we equate what people did, and we magnify people above what they are. We need to, if anything is anything you glorify in the earth is Jesus and the grace of God. Grace is what is glorified. Is people, you know, if you're gifted to do something by God, it's by grace. And so we want to look at this. In Luke, the first chapter we're going to go to, I want to read there, starting at the 26th verse. It says, now in the sixth month, it says the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, I just want to stop there. We want to talk about this because the sixth month, we take all this stuff on our calendar, and it wasn't after our calendar. It isn't like we have it here. In fact, we really, there's nobody can get dogmatic about when Jesus was born, or any of those kind of things, because we don't know things exactly. Now, the Israel was really established by God. God gave Israel a calendar, in other words, months. God established that with Moses when they came in the wilderness. God told them, well, before they left Egypt, they did their Passover, and the Passover was the start of the first month of their calendar. That was the first month. Now, it wasn't in January like our first month. It wasn't at all. And so the angel appears to Mary here in the sixth month, which is the month of Tishri. And it is the time really that falls like in their actual holidays today, which would be in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in those. So it fell in between. It was somewhere around the month of September and October. It would be on our calendars, somewhere around there. because we'll find out is to know this. So in this period of time is when he showed up. Now, Israel has changed over since that period of time when the Roman calendar came out and started, which we follow after today. We follow that calendar that was sort of set out that time. Israel's calendar was really an interesting thing because it was Israel's calendar was set up by God and run by moons. It was run by the moons. In other words, the moons place because of seasons and stuff. It was laid out so they could follow it. Israel had a really interesting thing because their calendar had 29 or 30 days. And they would run through on that. But then what would happen, it didn't work out having those days on there. So every, like, I forget, was it 6, 7 years, they would add, 2 years in a row, they'd add another month onto their calendar to bring things back into line again from those 7 years. They'd do that for 2 years, and then they would go back over again. And so they would fall on. Today, Israel uses what they called their civil, which follows after their, they had what their religious calendar, and then they had the calendar that they followed after that did all their other stuff. But anyhow, what Israel did is changed over, where Tishri today is actually their first month. Now that starts as their first month. So they lined it up with that, and they did them now. It used to be Nisan was the first month. That was what it started off with. God did. That's been changed. So the religious calendar, they ran in one way, and then that's been changed today. So trying to sit back and figure out exactly, nobody knows exactly on dates and what fell exactly at the exact time. So what they do is they make an estimation of months fell within certain, like a 2 month period. We don't know. There is a very good thing that, that Christmas was not in, would have been in December, would have been in the winter time when Jesus was born. It wouldn't have been. You know what? It don't matter. And I want you to get a hold of this thing here. Is we need as Christians. I always go by what the Bible says rather than what Christianity says today. Because the Bible says this. Paul wrote and said, some people consider one day holy, some consider another, some can, you know, all this. He said, some people consider, don't have any certain days holy, and some consider every day holy. He said, whichever one you pick. So don't get all bent out of shape with what people do about dates and calendars and days that they celebrate and do what they do. It's all religious junk. We fight battles over the insignificant, and anything of significance we pay no attention to. Because we don't know nothing about it. Let's get real. If you want to celebrate Christmas, the brother, hey, have at it big time. Call it, you know what, your holy day. Do whatever. But treat it. Now, I know this, like a lot of Christians. I know, I remember, you know, they started one back when they started this bit and calling it Xmas and changing all that. All Christians were all upset. Oh, they're trying to get rid of Christmas. And therefore, I want to fight a war over that. And then you turn around, like, you know, last year, Christmas fell on Christmas Day was on a Sunday, and loads of Christians didn't go to church because, you know, it wasn't about Jesus anymore. It's about family. You know, we're spending time with family. Jesus ain't. You folks, you know, you were abnormal. You all came to church. You all came to, I'm sure you're abnormal. Something wrong with you people.
Amen.
See, I don't care what anybody, I don't care if people call them Christians and I'm yelling about days that they think are holy and people ought to do this. Hey, I want to know what you do in your life.
Amen.
We'll find out how Christian you are. We find out how Christian you are by what you do.
Amen.
God's looking what you do. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Amen.
So we know who loves Jesus and who don't.
Amen.
There's a lot of wind blowing out here.
Amen.
I'll tell you. And God don't follow wind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But see, and this is the thing of it is, hey, the big thing that we can do before the world is live what we believe.
Hallelujah.
Not going around trying to force some day down their throat. How well do we serve the day and how, what do you say when Christians don't live light and go to church and they're over fighting about a certain day? What on earth are you talking about? Forget it.
Mm-hmm.
We're the biggest hypocrites of the bunch. Pour something down the world's throat. We don't live.
Amen.
And so we're not going to do that. Let's live. Let's follow Jesus. Let's live like he's been raised every day. See, that was in the church. The early church never celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. They didn't celebrate that. That wasn't celebrated. They never celebrated that. That was bought in when the Church of Rome started all this stuff and bringing these holidays in, and they're doing the things. And I mean, even we don't set up as, you know, the Jews go by the moon and that stuff with the Passover, which the Passover follows. They pick that time of year. We don't. The church world picks, you know, their day that Jesus was raised from the dead, and very seldom does it hit over the on Passover, when actually it was a time that it happened. So see, we pick our day. We made holy days. We picked them out. They weren't biblical, but we picked them out. God don't care. He like it. We'd celebrate that Jesus was raised from the dead, but he wants us to act like it every day. Amen. That'd really be good. Amen. But it's fine to do it. But see, our days aren't picked. We just follow after tradition, and we've made them holy. Well, if you picked it as holy, go ahead after. But don't shove it down everybody else's throat. So, hallelujah. Let's clear all that stuff out of the way. Hallelujah. I'm just going to live like Jesus is alive. We just say, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is. He's alive. And so we want to live and walk in the light of that. So, I want to talk about this area because this is a phenomenal thing. The 28th verse says something, and we want to clear this up because, again, we're going to do some things were said here. And it would have been said much better, and some things were added. The 28th verse says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one.'" He said, "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, that last, "blessed you among women," is not in the original Greek text. Now, I just want to show you, this is one of the things, this is why God's been really dealing with this about one of the problems today is why there's not a move of the Spirit is because people are not magnifying grace, they're magnifying people. See, you magnify people, you can't magnify God. Grace, when I magnify grace, I'm magnifying God. When I magnify what grace does. Now, we need to understand this. I got over looking at that, and I'm thinking, well, so I got looking at different translations. I got my Greek interlinear New Testament out, which on one side it reads like the King James, and the other side it reads the Greek. And what I like about it, it reads the Greek in the order the Greek read it. That makes a huge difference. Because number, the Greek text has no punctuation. So when you read Greek, sometimes they switch things around. I like to read it right in the order it was written in the Greek, because I've gotten wonderful revelations from Scripture, because men sometimes thought it would better to be put it another way and switched things around to make it sound a certain thing, and sometimes have added things to. And I think sometimes reading the original Greek, I sit down and look at it and think, my words, it just was blunt straight. It was just really good. It was like, wow, get rid of all the other stuff. And it's like, wow, that's really good. Well, anyhow, so I got over looking at this because I want to say this. Now, this is not to knock any group because I've heard this among whether it's the Catholic. The Catholics are big on the Mary thing. And the Catholics say this and they quote it as such. That Mary was blessed above all women. That's what they say it says, which is untrue. The Scriptures don't even say any of that. Don't even say what's written there. But don't have, I've heard Protestants do the same thing. So let's not get over into things and, you know, we've made big deals about Mary. I just want to tell you this. Mary didn't do anything she did other than grace that would have never been done. If it wouldn't have been for God, Mary wasn't this special person. She was a person made special by grace. See, when we magnify people, I'll tell you what, you diminish your own faith because, well, I'm not one of the crowd, so I don't have that. I can't. No, grace is for everybody. The Bible says this, come boldly to the throne of grace, receive mercy, find grace to help in time of need. You know what? You have as much grace in your life as you have accepted. Don't you blame God that you ain't had enough grace working. You get grace. I learned this. I can get grace. Hallelujah. You know what? One of the big things is getting grace is magnify the grace you got.
Amen.
Don't magnify. Magnify grace. If I can do anything, if I have wisdom, it's from God. I always magnify grace. I can only do what I do. I only see what I see in the Word. I have gotten it through grace. I have not gotten it by my wisdom. If I got it by my wisdom, then God is a fraud. And he shouldn't expect me to glorify him for what I can do. This is why people don't glorify God. They think they're smart. They're thinking, oh, I'm this really intelligent person. I always think about it in this manner. I always like what the story, and I've told this story before, but it is just good. The one with Keith Moore. Keith Moore, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and it was over like a couple day period, kept bringing to him, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Kept bringing us to, without me, you can do nothing. See, people think that they're smart that somehow. I'm going to tell you what, if God turns off, everybody drops dead in a second. You do not exist by your own will.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You do not exist by your own will. And you are not alive at your own will.
Amen.
The greatest fraud. See, and a lot of education today teaches a lot of lies, and the church has bought the lies. Every sinner is alive today by the grace of God. Everybody. There is none. I lived 30 years before Christ, and it had to be grace that I was even alive at that time. Because when I got saved, I asked God why I wasn't dead. I sure did enough to try to get there. I did enough things to try to end up dead and didn't end up dead. And I found out that grace kept me alive. He said, you're alive because of your Father. He was righteous before me. The grace of my Father kept me alive. Grace kept me alive. I know a lot of Christians are only alive today because of the grace of others. Amen. It's good preaching we got here. This grace stuff. So we need to put grace in its place. And I'll tell you, it's at the head of the class, and there's no person at the head of the class other than Jesus, the master of all grace. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! That's our Jesus. Glory to God, and we're in Him. And He's in us. I'll tell you, this is an insane thing. It's too glorious to get it in your mind and get your mind to even think right about it. Our hearts rejoice in it, but our minds are like, wow, can this be so? Well, it is so. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Grace is a working. But I want to see, he made this statement concerning her, and he says, he calls her the highly favored one. And that word that is used there, actually is only word used two times in the New Testament. And it's a word used, actually, it comes the idea of grace. It says highly favored one. It means to be, you know, to be graced or special honor or special favor. It can mean in those areas. And I want us to look at this because of what this means. So, you know, this word is the second time it's used in the New Testament, which it is used incorrectly, which really diminishes the meaning of the Bible to the church. Because they turned around here, over here, she said she's highly favored one, this one from God. It comes over here to the saint, the ones who are born again. And they use that word in Ephesians 1 and verse 6, and it says, he made us accepted in the beloved. That's not what it means. It means we've been graced, or we've gotten special grace. The beloved God. Look, you need to understand this. You're more graced today than Mary was at that time. Mary didn't have the grace to get born again. The greatest grace God ever gave to man was the new birth. It wasn't a woman having a baby. Now that's hard to accept because we have worshipped Mary and this baby thing. We have worshipped that. And we have not worshipped the grace of God of what he's done that the church exists today. Hallelujah. You have been graced by the beloved. You got a special grace. You got a when the church age started, there was a special grace that had never existed before on the earth that people could be born again. The grace of God allowed you to be born again and become a child of God. Mary didn't have that. Mary was like Elijah. Mary was like John. It says John the Baptist. It says he was. There's no prophet greater than John the Baptist. Jesus said it, but he said the least in the kingdom is greater. Why? There's greater grace. We have diminished grace by the worship of people. We like stuff. We keep looking at the stuff instead of the grace that makes things happen. We got to come back to worshiping the grace that makes things happen. Hallelujah! Thank God for grace. Now I think that one of the best translations done in this is from the Bible in Basic English of this verse, this 128 over in from Luke 1:28. It says this in verse 28. It says, this is the Bible in Basic English. I like it. There's other ones I thought were good, very good. This is, and the angel came to her and said, peace be with you to whom special grace has been given. The Lord is with you. That's what he said. He never said she's special. Grace is special. The angel would have never said she was special. He would have never magnified her above the grace of God, or he was the devil's angel. He would have never done that. God magnifies his grace in the earth. We need to come back to where magnifying grace, where grace is done. I always liked the, I always appreciated the humility of Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, he would always talk to us, and we even teaching in school, and I've heard him say it in other meetings and stuff. But he would always say this, you know, he said, you know, we're imperfect vessels. The grace of God works through us. But he said, what we do is by grace. He said, he always said he couldn't, if it wouldn't be the grace of God, he wouldn't be standing in his office doing what he does. He would say this, and he said, I prophesy over you. And he said, it don't witness to you. He said, just forget it. See, he believed in the grace of God. He believed in the grace in you, that you, God would deal with you and work. These guys today, people prophesying, you'd think that God came down from heaven and said it, they could never be wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you, they've been so wrong for so long, people don't even know anymore. I'm just telling you this. There are ministers and major ministers who no longer have grace to minister and are still ministering. They're ministering what they've known in the past. They're just ministering, going along the line. They're just following the same, and people just follow after. Magnify grace. Don't magnify men. Amen. If men do anything wonderful, it's by grace. Nobody does wonderful without it. We're not great. See, this is why, you know, we're on the side of what were being called the Greeks. There was the Jews and the Greeks, and we were on that side. We're the Gentile folks. And you know what? Education's big. And there's nothing wrong with education. But we have magnified education and people far beyond grace. We have thrown grace out the window. We turn around and listen to all this stuff. We ought to figure education ain't work. Hey, everybody down in Washington got a college degree. How's it working? You know what we need in Washington? We need grace. We need God's grace in operation down there. We need somebody to start yielding to the grace of God. We need somebody to quit magnifying men. And I'm sorry, I'm tired of them magnifying Trump. If God's called him to be a leader, it's grace. And it ain't Trump. I refuse to worship him.
Amen.
I refuse it. He's being worshiped. And I tell you what, it's a stench to God. Not from Trump's standpoint. People build him and put him on a pedestal. And the people did it. Don't throw rocks at him. He's got a head you can't buy a hat for. And I tell you, I'm not against him for it. The people did it. They worshiped him. The Lord told me after he lost the election, the Lord told me, he said, I told you what was going to happen and what the church did. And he told me what the church did. He said, I warned them. They followed the man. They didn't follow God. He said, I gave them a man to do something and they followed the man. They didn't follow me. They didn't do what I told them to do. The man was their Savior. No, Jesus is always Savior.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If man does good, let's give glory to God.
Amen.
Let's give glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to stay in that vein of thinking. Hallelujah. Well, verse 29 says this, goes on. It says, in Luke, the first chapter, it says, but when she saw him, she was troubled and at his sayings and considered what manner of greeting this is. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. That word favor is in the word charis. That other word comes from the word charis that we looked at. This is the actual word charis for grace. In other words, what he said to her was grace. In other words, he said, you've received grace with God. That's what you got. See, grace is going to make this thing happen. Grace is. Not Mary special. Grace special. God could have made any virgin have a child. See, we need to get this this thing rolling along here, because when people are thinking on these things, thank God for her obedience. It says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? It says, then the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. See, with the Holy Spirit's coming. See, the grace of God's going to come on her. This is what's going to happen. Grace is going to come on her. See, this isn't her, not glorified, and all of a sudden she's going to have a halo walking around, and, get the pictures of her, and she's got the halo and all the time, and she looks angelic, She walked around, she's been, everybody noticed it, and everybody, oh, isn't this something? No, it didn't happen, none of it like that. So, said he will have the throne of his father David, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, it says, this angel goes on and says, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is, she's in her sixth month. So she would have gotten pregnant in Nisan at that time, which was the first month of the year. And then so Mary's down here in September, October. So she's up in January, February time, up in that area. And so we're down here, this taking place. Well, if you stick out, you can't get to January, to December on that, figuring when Mary was going to have her baby. It's not going to arrive there at that point. So looking on the calendar at the time. So she conceived at that time in the first of their calendar. Now, if we would look in our calendar, though, it would be fall around the months of around March and April. So it's interesting, John the Baptist was born sometime during the time of today, which we know we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It would have been sometime around that time is when he was conceived, around that time period. And so... So what we have over the time of their Passover would be, we would look at resurrection, but they did at that time was sometime around toward their Passover. And then it says in verse 37, for with God nothing is impossible. Now listen, he makes a statement, with God nothing's impossible. And people saying that, and also we find quotes in the New Testament that says, all things are possible to him that believeth. It's one of those things. Think about it. We may say that, but one thing, most people have never said that in faith. Now, it's not knocking anybody. It's because our faith's limited. We say it, nothing's impossible. But be honest, there ain't a one of us live like everything's possible. We throw these things out there and say them. They're nice statements, but let's get real. One of the things is meditation and think about what we're saying. See, it's the fact of a virgin could have a child. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If a woman came along today and said she was a virgin and had a child, how many in the church you think would believe it? None. Because all things aren't possible. Let's get real, folks. The faith people have played too many games. I've learned this. Just be honest about yourself. There's things I know they're true, but man, it's a struggle to believe it. You just don't up and believe it. It takes time. It takes meditation. It takes, to work into an area, developing your faith. And he said, then Mary said, behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to the word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, Mary could go over, because we could go, that angel quoted scriptures that were already said. What he said to her was nothing new. You can go over to Isaiah, to the 7th chapter, verse 14, and Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. He made quotes exactly from what the prophet Isaiah had already said. This is why I'm telling you, God deals with you. He's going to talk to you about Scripture. You find, hey, what happened with John the Baptist? What did the angel say to Zechariah? He quoted Scripture to him. A verification of this is going to be true. This is what this guy is. And it is. You know, God always leads me in line with Scripture and shows me in Scripture. How do you? We just going to run off and do things. I hear people. I've watched this over here. I've seen people do things, and it was stupid stuff they did. God told me, don't line up with Scripture. I've had people over the years get mad at me because God told them something. I say, well, He told you to do that. I had to show them Scripture after Scripture. The Bible said, no, God spoke to me. Well, have at it. But when it goes bad, don't come and, you know, Pastor Ed, get the wand out. Fix my nuts. You know, I'm crazy. Insane. Don't listen to nobody. That's why you know the Word. Jesus is the Word. You always want to listen because He'll lead you in line. And I love that because, see, when I study the Bible, I find the Holy Spirit really speaks to me a lot and shows me things or reveals stuff to me while I'm studying the Word. It shows me. Like, these things that I learned studying in the Word. I just studying over the Word, and the Lord just starts showing me. He'll show me things that over the years I've been many times. He said, that translation is not correct. I've had Him show me that many times. And I'll go over and find out, my God, it says something better than He said. It's better than they said. I like the better than they said stuff, you know. I find out. I mean, you look through your Bible, and you look in it, you have any kind of good Bible, you'll see italicized words in it. Those italicized words are words that were not in the text. They were added by men. Sometimes they did good in adding them and trying to bring out what it was saying. Sometimes they didn't do good. Sometimes they changed it. You know why? They ain't perfect. They're just men. Like Kenneth Hagin used to tell us all the time. He said, the gift of God is perfect, but it works through imperfect vessels. We're imperfect. We interpret by our knowledge that we have. And if you don't have knowledge on something and something said, what you might think it said is a whole nother thing. There's another wisdom of Kenneth Hagin. He said, don't do this. He said, don't have God give you a word, you make a sentence. So, you know, hallelujah. I found this over the years. God has shown me things and spoken things to me. I realized after periods of time and things come to pass and I saw those things, sometimes I didn't know exactly what it was He was trying to show. I should have spent maybe more time seeking Him about what He meant by it. Sometimes you need to do that before you run off to go do something. You need to sit down and find out what He's really saying about that. Make sure you and Him are on the same page. Be a good thing. Because it's hard to get the Holy Spirit on your page when you are on the page of Jesus Christ. And so you always want to, you know, those things we should be checking out. Now, what I want you to understand, I talked about this before with Zechariah, and you need to understand this. We read this from this side. We're over here on this side of history where we have this stuff written in the book. Let me tell you this. Nobody knew about this then. Mary didn't run around and broadcast, I'm having God's baby. Now, here in America, they do that today. You know, my God, they'd blab it everywhere. My God, it'd be on Facebook and whatever else book and everybody's stuff. You couldn't find anywhere they would go do it. It's number one, it's called, see, in America, even in the church, sin is no shame. There's no shame in sin. A woman who was betrothed to a man to be married and having and got pregnant and it ain't his, you don't tell people. Why? You want to live a bad life? You'll have one coming. People today, it don't matter who they are, you can get into sin and crawl in bed with somebody and there's a Christian and crawl in whatever and they say, well, we just make mistakes in life. Some mistakes you shouldn't be making and you'd be ashamed of what you did. Amen. I'll tell you, if there's no shame, there ain't no repentance. So don't give me this repentance junk. Because what they did is sinned against God. The New Testament teaches, Paul wrote about it. Paul said you go to bed with a harlot. In other words, you go to bed with another woman, a guy does. He said, concerning that, he said, basically said, that's your wife. Whoever you're having sex with, that's your wife or husband. Mm-hmm. See, we're Americans. See, we're Americans and we have the American translations of the Bible. Based on American, our nice little, which we think is just great culture. The culture of sin. We have this great culture today of sin. And we interpret the Bible. See, in the Old Testament, the marriage was not, your marriage wasn't consummated, it was consummated by sex. If a woman was a virgin, supposed to be a virgin. See, you didn't go marry the guy you just loved. And the guy didn't just marry somebody he loved. They were arranged marriages. This girl's in an arranged marriage. And why? Because her parents would have had more sense than she did. In those days, most people were poor. Now, I'm just telling you this. I'll guarantee you that Joseph was an older guy. Because these parents would want to get her off to a place of somebody that has something to take care of her. She wouldn't, some young guy. Yeah, he's really cute. I love him. Yeah. And then we know where that goes to. Cute runs out quick. No money, they ain't working, and you know, this, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know. See, I'm big on, you know, I'd never marry people in the condition of people. People come along, want to get married, ain't got jobs and stuff. Say, man, you want to get married, you need an institution. They have a place called Phil Haven, that's where you belong. You ain't got no sense in your head. And then you want taxpayers to help keep you going. This is good preaching. But you know what they would do? And this is what they do. Because if you married a virgin, there had to be proof of virginity. And when they would come together, they would take a white cloth and put it under her and have sex, and there was no blood on the cloth, the marriage is off. She ain't a virgin. That's what they did. Now, we have a thing going here with her. See, she hears an angel and she says, and I really appreciate it, Mary had no idea what was to come. She said, let it be, because here's Mary sitting. She's going to have a child. Do you know what it is for a woman in that time who's going to have a child and if there wouldn't be a husband? Well, the family ain't going to be tickled with her. You don't go home and tell mama, guess what? I'm having a baby. You ain't married. Not today. It's, oh, this is all wonderful and good. Oh, yeah, we get a grandbaby. Whose is it? Maybe, is it, whose is it? The guy down the street or over here? Where is it? I don't know. We just, such a wonderful thing. So I remember one of my grandkids raised among heathens. Because that ain't the will of God at all. See, this is the, we don't know the shame of sin in American church has lost it all. Nobody puts the brakes on nothing. Everybody lets everything go. And don't realize down the long run, people have paid their prices in their life because nobody will say stop. We wouldn't have to go through all the messes. There's messes I did in my life because I didn't follow Christ. And there's messes, and I would have none. My parents knew better. Try to teach us better. Tell us better. We went down our old path. But one thing I'll say about my parents, they always loved us, but they never made us feel good about our stupid stuff.
Amen. Preach.
They'd say, "We love you, but when the truck hits you, we'll be at your funeral. We'll come, honest. You do stupid." Stupid's going to come visit you. They always loved us. They always did. But they never tried to take us that what you did wrong was all right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What you do wrong, there are sins you can commit will follow you the rest of your life. Jesus will forgive you, but it'll follow you the rest of your life.
Amen.
Because it can do things. You need to understand this. No human has to forgive you.
Amen.
I don't care if God says we're supposed to forgive. How well does that work out there? Mm-hmm. They may never forgive you. You remember that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had men and women over the years come to me. You know, they cheated on a mate and the mate put them out and they ain't going to come back. Well, they're supposed to forgive me. I said, get over it. You wouldn't have done it. We wouldn't be going through this right now. I said, I ain't going to go throw rocks at them. Can they throw rocks at you? Oh, no, they're supposed to forgive me. Well, I said, you forgive them and shut up and go on. Say, you did this. See, God will forgive you, but it may not fix a thing here in the earth. See, this is good preaching, folks. This is wonderful holiday message. But I'll tell you what, it'll keep you out of sin.
Amen.
And it'll bring a give you a blessed life.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
Hallelujah.
My past set things in my future.
Mm-hmm. That's right,
sir. But man, I wish I'd have never done in the past.
Amen. Preach.
I got born again to wipe the slate clean with God. But things in here in the earth. I don't understand Christianity is full of nuts, fruits, and flakes. Because they have this idea that because you get forgiven, everything just... I have ministers act like you can go commit sins and that you're forgiven so everything's all right and it'll never show. How, that ain't the way it works. I watch people live in a split family for the rest of their life. They want to mate back. They can never get back. It don't work. See, people can do dumb. A guy years ago, a guy crawled in bed with another woman, that stuff. He came to me and talked to me about it. He said, I don't understand. He said, my wife said she forgave me, but she won't sleep with me. I said, praise God. I don't blame her for that. I wouldn't sleep with you either. I said, have you ever gotten checked out to find out what you might have or not have?
Amen.
Don't crawl back in bed with him.
Amen.
I said, number two, I said, she can forgive you, but she don't trust you. Mm-hmm. I said, forgiveness is one thing, but trust is another. I said, God said if you're not faithful with little, he ain't gonna make you ruler over much. She don't want you ruler over her body anymore. Sounds smart to me.
Amen.
Till you prove yourself.
Amen.
You know, I want to jump on somebody else and run back home and say, forgive me and I'll jump on you. This is good preaching.
Amen. Great preaching.
No, we don't play these games.
Amen.
You prove yourself. I told him she didn't want him. I said she really didn't want him around. I said, you don't need to go live a couple of years and see if you can prove yourself you're a decent person. And I said, then she might accept you back. But I said, God don't accept you back. If he doesn't, if you aren't good with your wife, you go over to another woman, should she just jump and let you back? Oh, now you're Mr. Faithful just cause forgiveness? No, faithfulness is proved over time with performance. That's faithfulness. This is why many Christians can't get God to use them, because they have been faithful for no period of time in their life. They're faithful little spots here and there. They'll be for a short time. Then they're back off unfaithful again. They're back in there walking with God, run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. God's never going to really use them. Why? Because they've been unfaithful. They've been unfaithful. They don't stay faithful at all.
Amen. Preach.
Well, yeah, I've learned this. I'm going to be like God. I'm not like stupid Christians say to do. Well, forgive them. Just take it back like nothing ever happened.
Amen.
Well, God doesn't do that. There's things you just don't. There's things you don't. Somebody talked bad about me or something, and they'd say, oh, I'd forgive you. I don't care. Take them back. But there's things we're dealing with marriage and stuff like that. This is on a high level with God.
Amen. Preach.
Mm-hmm. See, there's certain sins Paul said about that a person commits, you don't even as much as eat with them.
Mm-hmm.
Immorality is one of them. Mm-hmm. My God. Half the Christians in America on immorality, you wouldn't be able to eat with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Woo! Hallelujah. We believe the Bible, though. I believe all things are possible to him. The faith people know very little about the moral Bible. Very little about it. Because if you preach it, they can't get out of the church fast enough. The doors are swinging, man. Well, I'm going on this. Jesus loves me no matter. Unconditional love. Everybody that's in hell, God loved.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach.
There's no condition to God's love, but there are conditions to get to heaven.
Amen.
That's right. There are conditions on getting to heaven. But this false doctrine today, God, this unconditional love, like it's all going to be all right. No. I'm going to tell you what. I've watched Christians' lives end up worse than sinners' lives. They just go out and live like hell.
Amen. Preach.
Well, I'm a Christian and God loves me. Yes, He does. And he'll watch you go down the tubes too.
Amen. Preach.
Hallelujah. I want to talk about it. Mary's in a tough state. I want you to get this because you don't open your mouth. You don't open your mouth. You know, we talked about Kenneth Hagin. His mom, Jesus appeared to him. She never told anybody about it. He never knew nothing about it. Why? I'll guarantee if she would have went and told around, her mom was right, said, people will think you're crazy. She's exactly right. People would have thought she was crazy. It wasn't until Kenneth Hagin in 1950, God born 1917, ain't born till 1950, till God told him about that would happen. He never knew. His mother never told him about what Jesus said about him. Never said anything. And you know what? Kenneth Hagin wouldn't say anything about it. He wouldn't. It wasn't until a few years before he started to talk about it. But he talked about it. It's one of the things that went down a lot better with a lot of people that knew him because they knew what kind of man he was. But you know, somebody out here that just happened to, Mary run out the door and start telling people, I'm going to tell you what, ain't nothing but hell coming to visit you. See, we go on this side and we get all tickled. You know what? The angels weren't singing at the down by the manger. The angels sang out in the field to the shepherds. Mary and them never heard it. It's only added to songs that men add to songs. And we believe what it says more than the word does. We've been fed with things over there. Think about this. This girl, she says, yep, let's do it. Yep, angel, let's go. You know, here she's walking by faith, which is a good thing. But I found out this a long time ago. If God would have told me things that I was going to have to go through because of ministry, if he'd have told me ahead of time, I probably wouldn't have went. I'd have said, I'm sorry, choose Mike Loser. I don't know. Just get him or do that, choose this guy or that guy. Go, not me. He told me, and you know, you get over and you accept it. But see, faith is a walk where you don't see the end of it. Mary never saw what was coming.
Amen.
There's a devil freight train coming for her. She never saw it. She never even saw it after her son was born and into ministry. She thought he finally went off the rails. Sure. The Pharisees one turned around and said he had a devil. And she came with her other boys and came to try to take him away. And they said to him, he came to a house, he's ministering. He got over, he was ministering so much that his disciples weren't able to get away and rest and stuff, it says. And they came because, see, he's insane. See, he's doing all this stuff. People are getting healed, delivered because he's insane. See, and she comes and says, comes to take him away. And the people in the house said to him, hey, your mother and brothers are outside. And this was his answer concerning his mama.
Amen.
His answer. He said, my mothers and my brothers are ones who do the will of God.
Hallelujah.
Woo! What a thing to say about mama back then. How come nobody brings this stuff up? See, we're in the glorification of people. She was just a human.
Amen.
She did what she did by grace. By nothing else. It was grace. Glory can never go to her. Can never. And nobody else. We did what we do by grace.
Great preaching.
We need to come back to this thing here. Is Christmas really about Jesus? See, everybody puts that these people are these special people and they're, you know, they're above us. You just limited yourself in grace. You just limited it because you always say somebody else will get something better. So God can grace. No, grace can work on you and do marvelous and wonderful things.
Amen.
Have faith for grace.
Hallelujah.
God will grace. You know, it's just like Mike was talking this morning about just getting answers on that. That's the grace of God. He got the grace of God working for him just because he wanted to know something. The grace of God went to work. It wasn't a special Mary thing. He didn't have to pray the rosary. Just ask God. Now, people might not like to hear this, but it's true. And not just, I'm not talking Catholic. It's all across the Protestant world. It's the same thing. Thank God for Martin Luther, but he was a man and God's grace revealed something to him. And if grace had not revealed it, that moron would have stayed a priest.
Amen. That's
He'd have been as dumb as you and me. I got saved because God revealed grace to me. Grace saved me. I wasn't seeking God. He sought me. I only seek God today because grace draws me. If grace only worked because you go to God, then everybody that's not going to God ain't going to draw nobody. Now, this grace is a phenomenal thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it makes people into what they could never be.
Amen. Preach.
Hallelujah. If you just got talent to do it, you ain't got no grace. Hallelujah. Grace goes beyond the talents of men. Hallelujah. We glorify God. And we want to go. This is why I want us to look this morning. I'm going to go over and look into Matthew because Matthew talks about Joseph. Because we have Mary. I mean, just think about Mary. And it's like this morning, Darlene was reading, you know, going to have a baby. You got to march all these miles. You got to go all these miles. You're going to have a child. I mean, it is so close that when you get down there, you have this child. I mean, you're so close to giving birth. And you got to get down there. And I mean, it's really a nice cruise down. I'm sure they went down and just stayed, you know, at the Holiday Inn every time they hit along the way there. And, you know, they got off the bus and went over and got in, you know, it was just really, really nice, you know. There's only other millions of people on the same roads traveling and going. And then it disturbs me. And they make sermons about, you know, the innkeeper turned them out. Like, he was a bad guy. How would you like to go stay at a hotel and they throw you out to give somebody else your room? No, this bad guy. No, every Christian's bad then. They went down and said there wasn't any room for him. It didn't say, the rooms are all taken. How do you know they weren't taken by pregnant women? No, we make up our own little religious stories to have our own things. They did what they could. I bet Mary was thinking, man, I'm going to have the Son of God. I'm sure we're probably going to go down there. It's going to be just a wonderful... Never thinking, no. This baby, the Son of God, is born in a stable area. How many of you... I mean, just regularly, do you want to have your kids born in a stable area? This is the plan. This is God's doing this thing. You think God didn't know this was going to go on? God didn't know. See, when she said that day, she didn't have a clue. She doesn't realize she's going to end up being on a run. She don't even know that's coming yet. And it's going to be instigated by God. Well, this is crazy. See, because it was prophesied that his son was going to come out of Egypt. Already had been prophesied by the prophet. See, they didn't know none of this stuff. They're just walking by faith. I'm going to tell you what. The walk of faith ain't a cakewalk like people have said it was. That if you just walk by faith, everything just gets real peachy. They didn't know that. They stepped out in faith. And there's a whole thing of life that's just changed and different now. It's not the same. I want to read Joseph in Matthew 1. Go to 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now this seems, I doubt very much this is a young man. This Joseph is some kind of guy. The woman you're betrothed to ends up pregnant and he don't want to yell about it. He doesn't go back to the family. His mind is, look, I want to keep this quiet. We'll do something. He didn't want her shame. Why? Because there's enough coming to her and her family. Her family's pushing her off to somebody and she's done this. It comes back on the whole family. This is contractual stuff, folks. These are wedding contracts. These were contracts. This is what you did. Because when they gave you that, you supplied something to that family. Because the value of the woman. See, Americans are totally different. The woman comes along, pays for all the stuff for the guy. Boy, you wouldn't have went back in that day, guys. If you didn't have nothing and couldn't pay, you don't get no women. I think we ought to turn that over today.
Amen.
See, they gave the family money. They gave some because, she's worth having. Not today. See, we talk about all this Bible stuff. The Bible, Christianity, America is so biblical. No, a lot of Christianity in America is cultural. And it fits our culture. You know what? If you want to do it that way, do it that way. God ain't nervous. But we need to quit putting on the front.
Amen.
Like somehow in the world, we're special in trying to make everybody be an American culture. Number one, I don't want all the world today to have a democracy. Or they'll all be as nuts as America. There are still some sane countries out there. Dear Lord, Russia's a little more sane than we are when it comes to morality. Who'd have ever thought that? But you know what? It's biblical. The nations that God uses, like with Israel, they became more heathen than the nations around them that didn't have covenants with God. America is becoming more heathen than the nations that were heathen. We look at Russia and says, you the nation. Huh. There's going to be a change coming in China too. See, we have this great idea about America. We're fighting over this democracy thing. We should be fighting over morality. I don't care about the Constitution anymore. I'm called to follow Scripture. If man follows this Scripture, we'll have a decent nation. And no such Constitution can bring that. We have reversed what our forefathers did. Our Constitution came out of their morality. And that's why it ain't worth spit today. And people don't honor it. Why? Because they're immoral. They're immoral. And as long as they're immoral, don't you expect them to follow any kind of wall of righteousness. They ain't going to follow it. And ain't no man make them do it. Hallelujah. The only thing that will change you is God. Grace! Grace will change you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But this guy, now here he is, he's going to, number one, God has definitely picked the right guy here about this thing because this man and his look on this thing. This is an incredible thing because even from his standpoint, look at him, man, this guy, hey, did you hear Joseph down here? Hey, man, she's pregnant. Oh, wow. Now, so all this is in him, this thing's going on. And then it says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. You know what? Jesus came because of your sin. He didn't come because you were so nice. He came because you weren't nice. He came, you were sin. I was sin. Sure enough. I had enough for both of us. So I had enough for a few people. So we had sin. Hallelujah. But Jesus came what? To save me from my sin. I needed taken out of my sin. I needed taken out of it. We don't preach that gospel today. Oh, God sent Jesus, he loves you, and he just accepts you. I've heard ministers say this, big name, God accepts you the way you are. Where did they find that in the book? That is said all the time. That is said all the time. You go listen to preachers. It's said all the time. God loves you the way you are. He takes you the way he accepts you the way you are. Well, he didn't take me the way I was. He wanted me to change. What's the new birth? He takes you the way you are. You don't need the new birth. And that's why the new birth ain't preached today anymore. It's not preached. It's only preached forgiveness of sin. They don't preach a new birth. Nobody changes. Because they don't get the new birth. I don't identify. I got a lot more than just my sins forgiven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God, by His grace, changed me. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
He did what only grace could do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tried that turning over the new leaf thing. Didn't work well. Hallelujah. Ran out of leaves. Never had enough of them. I turned them all over. We planted trees and tried to get leaves, but we couldn't. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it says all this was done. So this angel piercing, all this was done that he might be filled fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her. In other words, according to, see this one, God is not interested in your traditions. He has no interest. He has no interest in your, in Israel, they would not have been considered married because they, until they came in a union. In other words, they're running around here not married according to men. See, God don't follow people's traditions. See, we have tradition. Israel, all through the Bible in Israel, God turned around and picked the youngest guy in the family, picked David, the youngest. Well, you won't pick the youngest. You always pick the oldest. Yep. But God don't move. We have traditions. Do you ever notice in America right now, one of the great falls of America, we're trying to accept the traditions of all nations. You just come to America and you just live by all your stuff and you live by, we think that's the big, and you know what? That's what the church does. The church is out here trying to save the cultures of people that keep them in bondage. When I was down in South America on a mission trip, I was down there and I realized down there, their culture was keeping them poor. You couldn't get them out of poverty because of their cultures. The way they believe. You don't change that culture, you can't change it. There has to be a mindset. And to change the mindset would have to change the culture. And they don't want to do that. They love their cultures. You're going to have from God what you allow Him to give to you. Not what He wants you to have. What you allow Him to give to you.
Amen. Great preaching.
Some places will never prosper. Never. They refuse to change culture. In America, we're going to go into poverty because we've gotten into a culture that's sick as crazy and moving into areas of things. We're into the spending mode like crazy. And I'm going to tell you, the Republicans can't even give it up. They just, man, money talks and does all the walking too. And so they don't want to give it up. And it'll bring you to poverty. We have a culture. We've had a cultural shift. And it's bad. And it's affected the church. And the church has followed the culture. We've accepted things into this culture. We're afraid of sacrifice. We're afraid, hey, let's try to keep things here looking good. We don't want anything. We can't shut the government down. It might hurt us. You know what it might hurt? We might have to draw back a little bit. That's going to hurt. And I tell you what, the Christians ain't in for it any more than any other group. Don't you touch my 401k. They say that to God. I'll tell you, sometimes things along is going to require pain. I want you to think about this man. He's going to take this woman. She's pregnant. We aren't going around spreading this stuff all over the place. Understand, nobody knows. We only know about it because it's written here. People knew nothing about this. When they're taking a baby and have it down in a manger, those shepherds don't know that she was a virgin. And they know none of this. Nobody knows nothing about it. They haven't told people. You know, I'm sure Joseph got out of bed and said, hey, God sent me an angel, told me to marry my fiance here who's pregnant and ain't mine. Oh, man, this is something. We're going to have a great time. I'll tell you, this is good. You'd never broadcasted that in those days. You'd have never said such a thing. They haven't done it. See, we look on this side and we look this easy, all this needed. Oh, holy night! You know, it was something. I mean, the Messiah's born. But for them, this wasn't this big treat. Man, I will guarantee you, they were probably looking for some relief. They were like, oh man, what is going on? We're in the middle of all this thing. We gotta head down the road and go down, travel down here 90 miles away. We gotta get down here to this place. in the middle of all this. How you get down there? All these people out traveling. You can't get places to stay. You know, they're traveling along the way. How, like, where did they stay along the way? You don't walk that many miles. Just, you know, you don't go that in one night. You know, you don't go one day and you're there. It ain't like really great roads and everything is just so wonderful. I always love these pictures and that stuff they do of how things looked and that stuff. Just let me tell you, it didn't look near as nice as the pictures. Not near as good. Hey, little pictures of what Bethlehem looked like. You know, this cute little village, and you know, I just sit there and other, you know, things and all that. It didn't look like that. Now, we can get our ideas and our things about it, but what I want us to get over in this idea is one thing is God wants me to emphasize. To do the will of God, these people had to commit to a lot of stuff that was hard to do. I mean, as we're going to go on and look at certain things, literally as we teach, but I want to look here today. These two people, what they did, and they're doing this. God set this thing in motion. They can't run around and broadcast over the place. Now, we find this out. That's like I talked about before. We find when he's taken into the temple after it's the time of Mary's purification, and he's taken to the temple, there's two people there. There's one is Simeon. The Lord had told him that he wouldn't leave the earth till he saw the Messiah. And the Lord told him to go to the temple that day. And he went down the temple. And he went in and God showed him who it was. And he spoke over him. He took him in his arms and spoke over him. There was also Anna the prophet in there at the same time spoken. Now, you know, this is interesting. This is the first time in the light that people see this baby and these things spoken over there in the temple. This is the first time a crowd has heard anything. A crowd it's said in the temple. These things are said in the temple or recorded, but we know this. The religious leaders of the day didn't pay no attention to none of it. And if they didn't, most of the people don't. Most people will follow a person. They follow this guy, whoever it is. He said, well, they all adios, get on their horses and ride out of town. That's what they do. Simeon, he didn't ask what people thought. He prayed till he sought God, till God revealed to him. He was going to get to see the Messiah. But this is announced in the temple. So they're in the temple when they went in to do this. This is really the first time that really from a public standpoint, it's spoken concerning this child. And he didn't prophesy that she was a virgin. She's a virgin. And he ain't slept with her yet. None of that's been said. See, we read it in the book and act like this was common knowledge of some sort. No common knowledge of it at all. It's all a hidden thing. God says this was going to happen. We act like God does everything out in broad daylight and open and does things that He doesn't. You know, how many people do you think that were living at the time when Jesus was crucified and the Aztecs and the Incas are over? How many of you think you knew about it? How many of those did Paul preach to? We know a lot less than we act like. We read the Bible and we just take it and we put it into our little classification things. What was God's plan? You know what? I can't figure out why God did some things the way He did. You know, God raised Jesus from the dead, really, in a corner of the earth. Well, we don't like to hear that. That don't fit our idea of things. But He did. How many people in China knew about? Paul said he preached to every place on the earth. Paul never went to China. Paul's talking about the Roman Empire. He preached in the Roman Empire. That was the world to them. That's their world. That don't mean the whole round globe. That word world there does not mean it's a whole. It was in the world that he knew. So we need to use our sense a little bit. Is he like, the Antichrist is going to run everything in the earth. But he is? Well, then what would it good for Jews to flee east and go Flee the mountains. Why flee the mountains? He's going to be everywhere anyhow, so he's going to get you there too. But he's not. The Bible tells us. The area at that time was Moab and Edom. He's not going to take that. That's a place called Jordan today. Jordan ain't going to be going along with the Antichrist. There's other nations that aren't going to go along with the Antichrist. See, that's why we need to be careful. We need to study the Bible. Take what the Bible, look at what the Bible says. Take it from what the knowledge of their time and understanding their culture and what it is. Brother Hagin used to talk to us about that. He'd say, you can't read the Bible according to American culture. He said, it's an Eastern book. It's not an American book. Well, here in America, it's American book and the rest of them are idiots out here. They don't know. They don't understand. You know, if they just understand, they'd just be more American. We got the corner on the market. Now, the corner on the market's the grace of God. It's the only thing that can change men and set men in motion. We need to understand this. God uses us in spite of our frailties, our inabilities and that stuff, just because we choose to follow Him and walk with Him. That's why He does. It's not because of your greatness and goodness. It's because of His greatness and goodness. We just want to yield to Him. I have moved on. I sit down here lately, especially over the last year, and I study the Bible, and I look into the Bible, and I think, God, all this stuff is in here, and I had no clue it was ever there. And I read this thing a bunch. I'll tell you, over the last year, I've learned more things that has pulled me away from thoughts of American culture to get into God culture. To get into grace culture is what God can do in me that I can never do. That if there's not a move of God, if God doesn't move by His grace, every election ain't worth spit. Everything that goes on ain't worth spit. It ain't worth spending a dollar to do it. Grace makes this thing work. See, I started off with talking, and I'll end with this. I didn't forget about Keith Moore. I just left him hanging back here a while. God kept talking to Keith about grace. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And he said, one day, it all started. Keith Moore would play piano. And God, he really understood how to operate over in the Spirit. Songs and stuff would come to him. He'd sit down on the piano. There's numbers of his songs that he got, that became, courses that sang that just came out of the Spirit in a meeting. He would just sit down. In fact, I was in a meeting and a couple of those songs come out. And he walked up, sit down, piano, start playing, just start singing out. And it was just like, wasn't anything that he got, it just come to him. And he was really graced in that manner. I mean, he was graced. See, when I was at Rhema, we had Rhema students, they tried to build an altar to him. Oh, they did. They tried to build an altar to him. You know, he's special. No, he had grace. That's what he had. Well, he found that out. Because he went to the piano one day after God kept telling him, without me you can do nothing. And he went at this piano to sit down and practice and play. He went to sit at the piano. He couldn't remember how to play. He said, I sat there and I didn't even know where to place my fingers on the keys. He said, I didn't know what to. He said, I couldn't believe it. He said, I would try and it was like I never had any memory of ever playing piano. I knew nothing about it. He sat there and he said, he knew that he played piano, but he didn't. It's like everything's gone. Well, not just with that, just in his life, all of a sudden, everything he had been graced to do, he can no longer do. And anything that he normally did, he can't do. He got to the point, he said to this, it went on for days, and he said, he got to the point, it was driving him so crazy, he said, I started to think about committing suicide. He said, I didn't know what. He said, I'd not do nothing. I'd go to do things and I couldn't remember how to do them. He went through this whole thing. I can't remember exactly how many days he went through. He went through a while. And he was at wit's end. And he said, the Linda Ward spoke to him then finally one day and said, I told you without me you can do nothing. You see, there's a little revelation I got years ago. I was watching one of these scientific shows. They were talking about gravity and gravity's work and all this stuff in the universe. And he went through all these things and laws and gravity and went through all these kind of things. In fact, I just saw a thing here not long ago that hit on it. It was really funny. Because they said, yeah, we know what gravity is and what it does, but we don't know why gravity exists. They said they don't know. They said they talked about it. Here they just had a thing on about certain things, bodies that they found. They don't understand why some of them have so much gravity and other ones don't. That are very similar. Why they don't have much gravity. They said, why does this thing do? What is this that holds everything in the universe together? Well, the Bible tells us God's the one that holds everything together. There is a force. You know what? They say they don't know what gravity. I can tell them. I know. I belong to him. He's a kid. I can tell him. Oh, I can tell you why where gravity is. I can tell you about it. Hallelujah. I can tell you who he is. They don't know. All these great minds. And they said, at the end, they go through this whole show about gravity and end it with the fact, well, we don't really know what gravity or what causes it to happen. We don't know. We just know it exists. And things don't work without it. You know what? Just like here on this earth. You know, we're having a lot of trouble. They're talking about the sun and different radio, waves and stuff that get into the earth at a much higher rate than what they used to. You know what? It's because of gravity. See, our gravity is what holds our atmosphere, which really helps to block out a lot of gamma rays and all kinds of stuff like that. If the gravity gets messed up, and our gravity's messed up, our pole's shifting. See, our poles are shifting. Like they used to have, like the pole shifts that they would measure for like the past 100 and some years were a few inches a year that they would see a shift. Now it's shifting many feet per year. See, when gravity goes off, it changes all kinds of things. It changes all kinds of things with your satellites up in space, the communications and stuff. It shifts things and throws things all off when communication stuff changes all kinds of things. GPS don't work. They had back about 5 or 6 years ago, planes were leaving Europe and flying to the United States to land in Florida, and were about 100 miles off. And at first they thought, well, something happened to the plane, but they found out numbers of planes. There was mess up. Oh, GPS, there was nothing wrong with the satellites. There was nothing wrong with anything. See, without God, you can't do anything. See, we need to come down to this. This earth, it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, is groaning and shaking, waiting for the redemption of the sons of men. This earth belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This earth don't like the way people are on the earth. It's trying to puke them out. Amen. And there's a lot of Christians it wants to puke out. We need to understand this stuff. This planet is alive to God. This is His. This planet ain't happy about the way things are going on. And its condition, it is unfixable. People can play all the games they want, do all the stuff. That's the Antichrist system. It's all going down the tubes. It's nothing because anybody's bad. We just turn around. Let's quit driving cars. Let's all eat peanuts and whatever else. And everything's going to be okay. And it's all going to work out. And it's all... Man, see, I'm God. We'll fix it. You didn't create it and you can't fix it.
Amen. Preach.
Amen. I go along with what God told Keith Moore. Without me, you can't do nothing.
Amen.
Man does not have the wisdom to fix what's going on. Because even the Christians, churches are going along with this weather junk and all. Churches, spirit-filled church, going along with all this stuff and things going on. They're going to help save the planet. And you know what? They're still going to be here when Jesus leaves with the church. And they're going to join Mr. Fix the Planet. No, I totally 100% believe without God you can't do anything. I believe. We need to magnify grace. Let's stand to our feet. You and I need to magnify grace. And we need to spend time doing that. Keeping ourselves over. Getting over the areas of faith in God concerning the grace in us. getting ourselves into that area. Just like these people, they suffered things. These people, to complete the will of God, it was not easy to do. Let's get down here. It's not easy to do. I'm just going to tell you, to walk in true faith today, it's not going to get easier.
Amen. Preach.
I'm just telling you, it's going to become more difficult as time goes on to walk by faith. This is not a child's game. This ain't a little game we're playing here.
Amen. Preach.
People need to understand the time that we live in. Paul talked about there are going to be dangerous times. Danger. We're living in dangerous times, and most of the church ain't living like they're in a dangerous time. They don't realize the danger. They don't, you know, they're about ready to get eaten up by the lion and don't even know it. The lion's been trailing them on top of them, and they're just going down their merry way, playing their merry little Christianity thing. No, I'm going to tell you what, walking by faith, it's what requires of us. Could God ask of us? Could He come and say something to us like He did with them and use them? Well, how am I going to act when I found out I got, hey, it ain't bad enough I had to do a trip the whole way down here, 97. Now I got to move to Egypt. Now I got to go to Egypt to get away. They want to, you know, this glorious thing happened to me. I had God's baby. Get out of town. They want to kill him and you. Gee, isn't this wonderful? The people that are looking for the Messiah. I'm just going to tell you this. Kenneth Hagin prophesied and said in the last days, he said the persecution will come. He said it won't come from without. It's going to come from within. He said within the church. He said the great persecution will come within the church. Where did the great persecution come with Jesus? From the religious people at the time that were supposed to be there. Hey, they're supposed to be on God's side. It's here, folks. Walk by faith and not by sight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on smiling.
Amen.
Because you know what? I got grace.
Amen.
And I know it's grace. I know it ain't Ed. Hallelujah. Amen. So I ain't going to be looking for something else. I'm not waiting for Ed to become a great genius. We're looking for grace. To bring the genius out in us. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. The great genius who lives in us. Hallelujah. You have a genius living inside of you, and he responds to you by grace, not because he just lives in you. The average Christian hardly even knows him or even knows he exists. Yet the genius is in them. Why? They never yield to grace. They go to churches and wait for some man to study the Bible and tell them everything. Jesus didn't even do that for people. Never told his disciples about the church age at all. During the whole time, never told them at all that. They thought this was all a Jewish thing. Never told them about it. There's things said in the Old Testament about it. See, but we see it from this side, you know. We look from this side and think, what's wrong with them folk? They're dumb like you are. That's what's wrong with them. We got it by grace. We were no smarter.
Amen.
Grace revealed it to us. Hallelujah. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
And let me just tell you today, you have great grace. You have great favor.
Hallelujah.
You got special favor from God. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, start living like you got some.
Amen. Preach.
We're so much on the hunt. As when the Lord told me years ago, he says, my people keep trying to get what I already gave them. Mm-hmm. They keep trying to get. And he said to me, what's wrong with them? They keep trying to get what I already gave them. I thought, hey, he gets fed up with us too. Hallelujah. You have grace, and you were given grace by God to be born again. It's such a greater grace than it was ever. Thank God for the grace of the old covenant. We wouldn't have what we have hadn't God not graced those people in those times to carry to bring it to here. But you know what? We got the prize. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! We got the prize. We got the prize of the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'll tell you what. We need to be celebrating Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. He ain't no baby in a cradle. Glory to God. See, we can talk, hey, this scripturally, we can talk about this. But you realize how little in the scripture and all the scripture talks about this? All the wonderful things. We don't have holidays for the wonderful stuff. There's wonderful revelations we ought to camp around for weeks. And have a whole week of holiday camping around it. We take one thing over here and we just camp there and this is the biggie, this is the biggie, and throw rocks at people that don't like our biggie. Don't feel bad about yourself. I used to think that's stupid too. Hallelujah! But you know what? Grace came to Ed instead of a rock hitting me on the head. I needed a rock to hit me on the head, but God gave me grace. And I tell you, I want you to know how graced you are today. That's what God wants you to know. Hallelujah. You're graced.
Amen.
Glorify the grace of God in you. Magnify the grace of God. Father, I am just so thankful today. Your wonderful grace working in each one here today. Hallelujah. Lord God, when they received you as Savior, they got the greatest grace that was ever offered to mankind ever. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve had nothing to what was offered through Jesus Christ and His resurrection. Hallelujah. And Father God, I just want to thank you. Oh Lord God, they are blessed. Hallelujah. They are blessed. Hallelujah. They are blessed, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, they don't have to try to get blessed. They are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. They got all the graces is designated to them that they would ever need to walk and live out a victorious life. Everything is in the grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Lord God, Lord, you're working. You haven't left them lack or wanting in any way. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I thank you. When they yield to grace, grace responds to them very graciously. Hallelujah. Very wonderfully, it responds to them. And I thank you, Father. Father, I just expect them, Lord God, to grab a hold of these revelations. And I thank you, Father, they're going to take mighty strides. They're going to take mighty strides. The glorious church is coming, hallelujah, where there's only one head and His name's Jesus. There's only one head and there's only one grace, and it's a grace that comes from Him, hallelujah. And that's all there is, and that's the only thing that's really important. And Lord God, if we do anything, we do it because it was Your grace on us. And Lord God, thank You for just using us. Lord God, You don't use us because of our great works. You use us because of Your great grace. Lord God, I say thank you. All as we want to do is what Paul said. We want to be found faithful.
Yes.
That's all we want. We want to be found faithful. Lord God, that's our part we can do. But Lord God, we want grace magnified in us. Lord, we're not going to blow our own horn. I don't care, Lord God, how what you use us to do and how great it seems among men. Lord God, we are going to stop and give glory to you.
Hallelujah.
We're going to magnify you. We're not going to magnify men. Lord, we're not going to let people worship us.
Amen.
No matter how good or whatever we do. Lord God, hallelujah, we're going to point to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're always going to point to Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, because without Him, we wouldn't know this wonderful grace.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Lord, it makes reminding me of this over this season a more wonderful thing, a more glorious thing. Hallelujah. My God, the Messiah came, and the gift He gave is so phenomenal, so outrageous. Who would ever believe it was so? Lord, if we went out and talked to people and told them about the mightiness of Your grace on it, I'd tell you, many in the church world think we're nuts. They'd call us blasphemers. They would say all kinds of things. Lord God, hallelujah. Father, but it is Your grace and it's working.
Amen.
And it's open to all who will believe. Anybody who wants to know this grace, they can know it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you in this day and time, we're not going to have a grace that's talked about, but we're going to have a grace that's seen.
Amen.
It's going to be manifest through Your people. And Lord God, Lord, I believe it will be set to such a degree. There's something, Lord God, that You showed me many, many years ago. That there would be such a degree in the end times that people would glorify God. Lord, it all happened when I spoke to You and I said, Lord, in ministry I would want to be like Jesus. That people, when He did what He did, it said they glorified the God in heaven. They didn't even magnify Him as a man on earth. They magnified, what came through Him was so glorious they couldn't believe men could do it. And it is, we can't. It's grace, heaven doing it. Lord, and that's what we want. We want you to work through us so graciously that men stop and glorify you, Father, and say, men can't do that. That has to be God. That must be God. That must be God's grace. That must be that grace thing that they're talking about. That must be the grace of God. That's what we want. We want you to move outside of human abilities.
Amen.
We want you to move up beside of all things. Lord, I think of all a man can do and do things. I'm really glad of that. But Lord God, there's a greater grace that is to be had. And Lord God, we need it desperately in this day and time. And Lord God, I see in scriptures that you use people that are nobodies. So I think there's some good candidates here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, we ain't looking for anybody spectacular. We're looking for a spectacular God manifesting himself through his people. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're going to keep striving for grace.
Amen.
Walking toward grace. Calling for grace. Hallelujah. Relying and putting our faith in grace. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we won't miss it. We won't be misled. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You've been favored.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.